during that time. And those under the Roman churches were likewise influenced by powerful men and women in defense of all that is sacred. And so when you think about the Reformation, it's also the time when the church was really emerging from the Dark Ages. It is during this time that there was a movement called Renaissance. I'm sure you've heard that. The Renaissance was gaining a foothold, and people were expressing their own faith through paintings, through architectures, through sculptures, and then in Europe through sacred songs, some of the songs that we have encountered through the years. So there are five solas, I call it core beliefs, on the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, Jesus Christ, and for the glory of God alone. So we're going to start with the Scripture for the time that we have. Today, it's about the centrality of Scripture. And so Luther used Romans 15, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scripture we might have hope, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's what Luther said. The primacy of Scripture comes first. Now, what does that mean? I don't want you to take down your notebook or your iPad or whatever it is, but there's a big difference between inerrancy and fidelity, two different words. Inerrancy means that every letter, comma, semicolon is sacred. That's inerrancy. You cannot go against that. But fidelity, in my own understanding, is faithfulness to the will of God, to the Scripture, and how it shapes our lives. So that's the context. I know it's complex. But during that time, there was a man by the name of Erasmus. Erasmus was much older than Luther, and he translated the Bible into modern Latin and modern Greek. And so that was groundbreaking. And why was that groundbreaking? Well, you have heard about Gutenberg, right? The printing press. The printing press was invented during the time of Erasmus, 50 years earlier than Luther. But the problem was there was no market for religious tracts or religious propaganda, as they call it. They were losing money. But Luther saw an important opening here. He can be in business, but he can also start talking about the Scripture. So he used the printing press to write pamphlets, and he was really economical with his words. And he used this to remind the people that the Scripture is central to our own lives. And the people supported him, because people were no longer interested in academic pursuits. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up in academic pursuits, you know, our intellectual response. But the people during that time were more interested in developing their own faith and practice in spirituality. And that is why Luther used this in Scripture alone has the authority. And that sent shockwaves across the religious spectrum. Because for Luther, now the Scripture has primacy. Tradition is not important, but it is the Scripture. So that's the reason why there was a big debate. There was a big divide between the church. And I can go on and on, but the problem, according to historians, is that if you set aside tradition, then what happens to all of the sacred history that we have expanded through the years? But for Luther, he said that Scripture is primacy, and that is why we have the priesthood of all believers, that all of us have access to God. And so that was a major contention about the primacy and the role of Scripture in one's life. So that Protestantism means to protest, but rather it suggests to stand up for one's belief. Years ago, I visited, it's a small church, where I was serving, and I saw a Lutheran church, and I know the pastor there. And every time I go to a church, I wanted to see the architecture. I wanted to spend time in prayer. I was told that at one time, the pulpit right here was at the center, right? It was elevated, kind of like that. I've seen some pictures, but in this church, it was different. The pulpit was really elevated. It's kind of like above the, by the screen that we have. And there was a spiral staircase. I was wondering about that. Oh, would it be interesting to see the pastor with his long robe, you know, trying to hang on to the rails and going up there and reading the scripture and coming down, perhaps, and then going back up again to offer the scripture. But Paul said, scripture is infused with the Holy Spirit. And listen to the language of Paul. So that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, the psalmist expressed it in a different way, which we sang. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The first thing that the person, for example, walking through shadows and storms of life is met by God, not only at the communion table, but in our own table. You know, you offer food, you offer water. And when we do that, it is an extension of God's table altogether. I remember Moses. When he received that burning bush experience, you heard the word of God saying, I want to deliver the people out of slavery into my table, into God's table, into a place where it is flowing with milk and honey. So the scripture inspires us because God is steadfast. Well, the second idea about sola scriptura, you know, in scripture alone, is addressed to Timothy. Timothy was told by Paul, he was a young disciple, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful and profitable for reproof, for teaching, and for training, for righteousness, and everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. So this is the time when you really have to be fully awake in the sermon. All scripture is truly inspired. One of the earlier practices of the church, and it's still being used today, is when you read the scripture, they call it lectio divina, which means the scripture is read meditatively. You read the scripture and you think about what it means. You turn to your upper room, or you turn to your other devotional sources, and you pray, maybe silently and maybe aloud, because that is what connects us to higher power and the higher power of God. But you see, I must confess, when I wake up in the morning, I reach for the on button on my Keurig. I don't know about you, but that's what I do. I wake up in the morning, turn on the light, boom, I want to hit that button in Keurig because I want to have some coffee in the morning because before I turn to the scripture. So I must confess my own difficulty in terms of connecting to God very early in the morning. But Martin Luther wrote that the Bible is alive, he said. It speaks to me, it has feet, it runs after me, it has hands, it lays hold of me. So he gathered his friends. They call it Luther talk or table talk. And I must confess that, you know, Martin Luther was no saint, because he railed against other people, other races as well. But he said that the scripture is central in his relationship to God. But you see, 500 years is a very long time. There's a new Pew Research survey that finds that U.S. Protestants, now this is after 500 years, are not united, and in some cases are not even aware of some of the prevailing controversies about 500 years ago. Well, go figure, that's the way it is, right? But if you dial it back to Europe, there was a series of wars between Protestants and Catholics in context about this. But does it really matter? According to the research, it says, well, 56% says It really doesn't matter. But 46% say that the Bible is the sole religious authority, which is the core belief of the Reformation. All right? And then there's another research that says, well, how about the 52%? And they value about tradition more than the scripture itself. That is why when I studied American Christianity, I read that there are about 33,000 denominations in 238 countries in the world today. And there are about 2,500 denominations in the United States. And the professor says, go figure. And that is why I figured I just need to have a pass-fail grade. I did not go for the letter grade. So I met the requirements. I passed, professor. I passed. And that's all I did. As I mentioned in the beginning, the sermon series is about the core beliefs of the Reformation, and it resonates who we are. It is not about us against them, but rather we believe in the scripture as a way of deepening our relationship with God and those around us. If we know the scripture, we will continue to grow in faith and in abundance. Well, how did Jesus in his own ministry did that? Well, he walked with God's people. He explained the scripture. Imagine the surprise of his disciples when he said, today, that means right now, in your hearing, the word of God is fulfilled. Jesus did not stand against the people or argued with them, but instead he walked with them and invited them to the Lord's table in the same way that the invitation for us to come to the Lord's table is extended. I read, and I think it's true, that in order to bake bread, you have to knead the bread, right? You need to crush those grains in order to blend in with the loaf, unless you have one of those, what do they call it, organic bread that you have, that you can see the grains. But the whole idea of kneading and spending time. And imagine also the grape. Can you have good wine if the grape is not crushed? You know, the grape has to be crushed in order to produce the juice that becomes the wine. It is a testament to the life source of God. Likewise, the scripture is for our instruction, that steadfastness and encouragement we may have hope in Christ alone. And secondly, the scripture is God-breathed and inspired for God so that you can teach your children, your grandchildren, and the people around you. As I had mentioned so many times before, if you don't teach the scripture to your children or pass the good news, somebody else will replace what you will offer to them. So it's your responsibility and the church's responsibility to do that. The scripture prepares us for the work of inviting and offering the most excellent way, especially, and most especially in such a time like this. Because we know that nothing else will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. And when we offer the scripture, and when we and when God turns to us, we cannot be our posture. We cannot be in a posture of resistance. God will come to our lives if our posture is one of openness and not one of resistance, so that God's word may abide and truly bless all of us. Amen.